Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends. Happy New Year, and welcome to episode 134, the first episode of the new year of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Vary.
And I am Claudio Spera. Welcome to the show, everyone.
On this episode, we're going to take you on a photographic journey through the eyes of our next guest, Steve Ziegelmeyer. He often says an image is not about what is in front of you, but rather the feeling and emotion that photo conveys. Whether you have seen his Kiss photos or not, you are in for a treat on this episode. We're going to take a look at his unique style of photography through his iconic Kiss photos. Kiss Army, please welcome Steve Ziegelmeyer. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So cool to have you, Steve. Oftentimes when we kick off, you know, our episodes, we ask most of the time when they first became Kiss fans. In this case, we're going to ask you the following. So when did you know you wanted to be an artist?
Well, I was always an artist as a little kid. So I was always known for that. I never knew that I was going to do it professionally, because I didn't really think. I thought it was something you did for fun, and I didn't think it was something you did as a job. But what led me into it was I got out of school. In high school, I always took all the art classes. They made up art classes for me and a group of my friends. But when I got I took vocational school. We had a commercial art program. So I took that, but I kind of thought, well, I'm just going to go out and get a job and I'll do this for fun. Until I went to work at a factory that made maraschino cherries. And it was pretty rough. I got scalded. I was around chemicals. It was hot. All kind of crazy stuff. So I said, well, I better go back to what I'm really good at. And maybe that's what I should be doing. So what I did was I saved my money. I was working at the factory. I saved that for about 2 years. And I went to a commercial art school in Cincinnati, a small school that only taught commercial art. We weren't fine art students. After I got out of that, I went to work as an art director at various ad agencies. So that's really where I became, you know, a working artist, making a living at it. And I was an art director for 25 years. So I created ad campaigns, logos. Really the big thing I did was strategic ad campaigns for clients. So it would include everything from TV, outdoor newspaper, magazines, radio. Me and a writer would come up with these concepts for these clients and create the whole campaign. That kind of leads me into the photography end of it. So
okay.
That job was very creative and idea driven. What started happening with the internet, when the internet came in and a lot of marketing moved on the web, especially websites, art directors started becoming more just kind of designers and people making graphics instead of the idea stuff, which I really like the idea stuff, because a good art is based on good ideas. And if you don't have the ideas, I mean, it can be something pretty that just doesn't mean anything. It's like, oh, wow, look, here's some pretty thing. So what I did, more and more of that was going that way, and ad agencies were starting to use stock photography more. And as an art director, I used to hire photographers and direct them. They were doing my ideas. I would give them a layout. I would be at the shoot. I would direct them if we had talent. And I was crafting those images along with the photographer. The only thing I wasn't doing at that point was controlling the camera and the lights.
Okay.
So with this turn in the duties of art directors, at least in Cincinnati, bigger markets still have that, but we kind of got less of that. Well, more and more, the clients I was working with were doing stock photography, which if you come up with a great idea, you rarely find a stock photo that fits your idea. Because if it's unique, it's the opposite of stock photography. Stock photography is, you know, something that everybody wants.
Yeah, right? Masses. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that's what got me into photography was I literally started with a little digital camera when I was freelancing with a client. When we needed images that I couldn't find in stock, I would take them myself. So one of them was just that my hand holding an old iPod because I couldn't find a stock photo of it. So from that, what I did, to wrap it up, I just started buying better equipment, and I always had it with me when I was on assignment freelancing. And I would just take a lot of stuff myself for layouts. And then I started taking the final photos and
yourself. Yeah.
Pretty soon it just, people forgot that I was even an art director and started, they liked my photography so much that they used me for that. Mm-hmm. And then to get to the music point, I mean, being a huge music fan my whole life, as soon as I was doing photography, I said, I got to start shooting music. You know, that's my passion. And see, when I was a little kid, the funny thing was, what I really wanted to be was an album cover designer. So I've got one from Queen. I did a Queen album probably when I was about 12, but I just thought that would be the coolest thing in the world. But in the world we're in, I mean, you got the last thing that really looked like an album cover was a CD, and those were 5 inches by 5 inches. So they kind of killed the whole album cover thing. I mean, now there are lots of images, but it's not the same. I remember, you know, you've looked at Satin. I mean, Kiss is a perfect example. In 1975, when my buddies came over, I was already listening to Kiss, you know, the Detroit Rock City and Destroyer was out. Mm-hmm. But some buddies of mine came over and they had like everything up until Destroyer. So first album, Dressed to Kill, Hotter Than Hell. So, I mean, we would just sit around and look at those things and study them and look at all the photos. And
yeah,
and we were into all the magazines like Cream and Circus and all those. I could tell you every Kiss photo. We looked at those things constantly. So, you know, I think one of the things with Kiss is they're so visual that they really lent themselves to that. You know, there's a lot of bands I don't think you could look at photos all day of. You know, you go, all right, you know.
Yeah.
they kind of look the same. I mean, Jeff Beck, I mentioned before, he's a great example. I mean, he's one of the greatest guitarists that ever lived. I could look at photos of him just for his technique, but it isn't the same. You know, it's not like you'd have 100 photos of Jeff Beck. They probably start looking pretty similar.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's I mean, one of the biggest kicks was when I first got a shoot Kiss. That was in 2012. The first time I ever saw them, I was in a suite in that arena, and in that arena, the suite, it's an old one. It was built back in the 70s. The suites were all the way at the top and all the way in the back. So they're the furthest thing you could be from the show. And they're nice. And, you know, they're luxury. I mean, people bring you drinks and stuff, but me and my little brother went to it, and we probably watched 4 songs before we got out of there. Cause I said, we got to get down in the crowd and watch a show. Cause we're sitting up there, and behind us, you know, the suite is lit and they got TV and bar and food and all that. So Kiss is on stage. They're blowing things up, you know, they're explosions and fire and you know, we're loving it. Behind me there's some kid who's watching sitcoms on a TV. I thought, man, we can't watch Kiss like this. So we got on the elevator and got down in the crowd, and it was all festival seating back then. So we just found spots where there weren't people. But the first time I shoot them, you know, that's 2012. I'm in the front in the pit. Nobody's in front of me, and I got a camera. I mean, it was so surreal to be in that position. And the thing that I remember that was really cool was, you know, so we're shooting. You know, when you're shooting, your camera's always, if you're doing it right, is at your on your eye. And first song's always Detroit Rock City, so I'm singing Detroit Rock City every word. And I'm shooting, and I'm shooting Paul, and I can see him just grinning because, you know, he's looking at me. Here's this older guy that's down there. You know, he knows when I became a fan, and you know, he still gets a kick out of seeing, you know,
Of course.
how many people they've influenced, and guys like me were. Now I'm the photographer, but you know, I'm a Kiss fan way before I was a photographer.
Exactly.
Steve, speaking of which,
Yeah.
our listeners know that I'm a high school teacher. Now, my first degree is in psychology, and then my second degree was in education, and I worked 6 years in special ed. I feel that I couldn't be a teacher without that psychology degree. Now, you started off in design. Do you feel that your experience in design is what made you such a good photographer today?
I think that background is the best background you can have for a photographer.
Okay.
And I have friends, I will say, I've got friends that have never taken any art classes that are just naturally good at it and have an eye and have the feel. But I mean, they're lucky because that's, you know, that's not, you can't count on that. But yeah, the best thing a photographer can have is a design sense. Because everything we're doing is visual, is I'm designing in the camera. I'm shooting things, I'm thinking about, you know, what I want, you know, the things I'm seeing and how I want to present them and angles, and even if there's a story. Kiss is less of a story most of the time, but because there's so much stuff going on. But yeah, all that stuff, you know, composition,
Yeah.
that's huge. When I'm talking with my buddies, I have a lot of friends that are not professional photographers that are concert photographers. And usually what I recommend is, you know, a lot of it's gear talk and getting better equipment. And I usually say, look, before you buy any new gear, go online and study some design, study the rule of thirds, study color. And if you don't have to get crazy on it, but familiarize yourself with it and study other people's work that you like. Just the way a musician, you know, Kiss. I know Paul Stanley's a huge Who fan. You can see the Who, and you know, even in his stage act. That's fine. We all do it. That's how you find your own style, and go out there and look at stuff and see things that inspire you. When I was an art director, I had a wall full of music posters, you know, from that side, but also from ads that I loved. You know, people that had really, you know, ads that affected me. I would put them on my wall and I'd look at them. And Claudius, it's like your wall back there. You know, it's inspirational. It's photos of everything you like. But yeah, I would highly advise anybody that's a photographer, they want to improve, think about art, think about design. You know the famous director, Sergio Leone. You can look at his, there are YouTube videos that you can watch, and they're really cool to watch. His background, he grew up, you know, in London, and he had, or near London, I'm not sure which, but he went to the museum a lot, you know. So when you look at his framing in his scene, especially like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, there are paintings that people have matched to his compositions, color, you know, the crops and all that. you know, and there's a reason, because they inspired him. You can see that reflected in what he does. You're still going to come out with your own style because you're going to bring you to it. But yeah, I think that's a good question, because I have that conversation all the time when people are getting gear talk going. I'm like, don't buy a new lens yet.
Yeah.
Sit down and look at your photos. And sometimes I'll sit down with people and go, man, you know, I've got a friend that's a really great photographer. And the way we met, I saw his photos. We both shot a heavy metal festival that was in Columbus. And we shot The Darkness, but him and I both. Now, mine, Justin Hawkins, he might still do it, but he used to do a thing where he got on the drum kit and jumped off and did a flying eagle thing, kind of like David Lee Roth used to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he shot it, I shot it. I was shooting pretty slow, so mine was blurry. I saw he shoots really fast, and his was spot on. I mean, it looked great, and it was all sharp. The only difference between his and mine is I tend to saturate and really bring the colors up, as you can see in all the KISS yeah. photos,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we know what it looked like at the show, you know, so I bring this up. Well, his, he wasn't doing processing. He just wasn't familiar with it yet. And I sent him a message. I said, man, I think you got a great shot. I said, your shot's way better than mine, and you really nailed it. I said, I would love to see you bring up the saturation in there, because it's a really good shot. It's just a little, you know, cameras don't out of the box give you that. That's a processing thing you've got to go through, kind of like a musician in a demo.
Yeah,
exactly. A great song, it's not quite there. You need to mix things. You need to get things in the right space. But so my friend did it. His shot was really cool, and he shot KISS with me a bunch. He's got some great ones. But
well, Steve, how about you? When you're about to take a photo of a particular subject matter, do you research the subject matter first, come up with a concept, and then shoot, or do you do that on the fly?
Generally, I don't, because and I know the friend I was just talking about, Chris Arnold's his name. He does that. He watches videos. He knows every part of it. Me, what I've figured out for myself is I like reacting to things. I think I get better things in my style. Now, KISS is a little different because I've shot him enough and their sets haven't changed that much that I know a lot about them. So it kind of opens it up for me. But I like to go to a show and just watch it and react.
Okay. And react to it.
I think I get stuff that's a little more live, you know, a little more live looking. Like I don't mind if when somebody's playing a guitar, if their hands are blur, that doesn't bother me. I kind of like that it's got the activity. Now, one of the shots that I shot, one of the KISS shots, I think you've seen, that definitely was in my head, and I did get it, but I got it because I've shot him a few times. So it was something I kind of had in my head and took at one of the shows. That was the KISS boots, just the boots.
Yeah.
Which I like taking those kind of, I call them portraits, even if there's not a face in it. But when you look at that photo, you know who it is. I mean, yeah, you don't have to see a face.
Exactly. You don't need to. Right.
They're kind of sideways photos. They're coming in from a unique angle.
Exactly.
One of my favorites I've done of someone else is Willie Nelson. And it's his hands on trigger. And if you're a Willie Nelson fan, you know who Trigger is. And, you know, you would know the two of them just by that. And so I've got a photo like that that I really like. It's in the same vein as that. You look at it, if you know Willie, if you don't know Willie, you might just say it's an old guy's hands on a beat up guitar. But I get people like, you know, compliment that one all the time, because we don't have to see Willie's face. And it's a different way.
Exactly.
a portrait,
Exactly.
which makes it unique when you do those kind. Now, Kiss is, like I said, Kiss is different because I've shot them so many times. They've every show I've ever shot them, they've opened with Detroit Rock City, so I can plan on the pyro, the explosions. I know where Paul's going to be. I mean, and I've only listened to that song about 2 million times. You know, I know every cue. I know where to run across the pit. You know, for Tommy solo, I know when, you know, the drum fills.
You know the show. You know the show. Well,
and I know the song, so I know every nuance of the song, which that one helps me because then I can kind of go, well, I've already got this shot. I'm going to get this shot this time. And what's funny is how many times, even shooting the same song and them doing the same things, and the staging's a little bit different, but the pyro is usually similar. It's funny how every show you get some different shot.
Yeah.
Like this last one, I got a shot of Gene. I've never even seen the shot on my camera before. He's got a white light behind him and the background's blue. So it kind of looks like a night sky with the moon. And he's looking out up above, not at me, because Gene will look at you a lot. Paul will too. I mean, they really play to the camera, which makes him one of our favorites for that. But this one is just him looking out. And it's completely different. I mean, I've shot him 8 times. I've never even seen that, you know, in any of my photos. So it's amazing how many, you know, variations there are. And that's why you keep shooting, because you go, oh, the next time might be something I've never seen before.
Steve, I just wanted to go back to something that you mentioned before. And speaking of references, we strongly suggest, you know, our listeners and viewers to go to your site, because, you know, that's a really a masterpiece. You know, if you go to SiegelmeierPhotography.com, for anyone interested in arts and photography and music, you're going to find amazing stuff. And I was surprised to see that you're shooting, you know, things like landscapes, architecture, food, you know, and holidays, and of course, music. But what's interesting to me, in your bio, you also mentioned that the best photos are somewhere between what you see and what you want to see. And if I go back to the example that you put on Willie Nelson, this is exactly the case. So how exactly do you attempt to convey this perception of filling the gap between what you see and what you want to see? How do you do that?
So the Willie one is a good one, because when I shot that, it also includes some of the stuff we've been talking about, design. When I shot that, I shot it with a wide lens, and the whole photo is all of Willie and background and probably down to his waist. So when I look at that photo, I mean, I could have put it out the way it was. It was an okay photo. It wasn't anything that you stop you in your tracks. I mean, I think it still looked good. But I wanted to get in on his hands, because I knew that him and his hands on Traeger, that's a connection. Those two are like two buddies. You know, he's had that guitar forever. It's got a hole that big in it. So that's what I wanted to show. That's the story. If I was a painter, that's the painting I'd want to paint.
Okay.
I'd have the photo, but I'd say, yeah, I'm going to do it. And that's the way I tend to want to think about photography. Always. I always want to think of it as art. And I think like a painter, because I'm an artist. And when I talk to, I have a lot of my friends from art school, I'm still in contact with, because I've got a Facebook page, and our school was very small. It was only 35 people per class, and there were only 2 classes. But when I see them, we talk the same, whether we're talking about their paintings or my photography, because it's all based on the same stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's kind of, I'm kind of always trying to think of what I want to say with the photo. Sometimes it's just I'll relight and post. And I would love to hear what a lighting director thinks of that, because if they ever saw the photos, they'd say, wait a minute, we don't use purple or green. But what I'll do sometimes is take, especially red and blue are big rock and roll colors, and sometimes bands use them too much or not the right way, and they're really hard to work with, and they start getting boring after a while. You know, red tends to wash things out. Blue does the same thing. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll just take the reds and make them magenta, and I'll take the blues and make them, you know, greenish looking, which are complementary colors, which those go together. But that's kind of where I imagine, you know, something different.
Right, what you want to see.
I've got a Wiz Khalifa photo out there. Now, I shot him. It was kind of the same as the Willie thing. It was about a half body shot, and he had his hand up and a lot of stage. When I went to edit it, I looked at it, and he's smoking a joint like he normally is. He had his hand up, and the smoke was just really making this cool, you know, art. It looked like a piece of art, like a painting. And so what I did is I cropped him all the way out. So the photo is only his hands and the smoke. The smoke is really the art of it. But you know it's him if you're a fan, because you can see his tattoos on his knuckles. But that one, it's another one. If you saw that shot, the straight shot, there's not much to it. But this one, I think it's a perfect portrait of Wiz Khalifa, because you know, his whole thing is about smoking.
Exactly.
So what better portrait than, you know, it's somebody smoking.
You don't need to see his face, right? So you don't even need...
You might think it's Snoop Dogg, but if you know him, you know his tattoos, you know who it is. So, well, the other thing is, I always tell people, I'm not a crime scene photographer. I'm not bound by what was there exactly and the lighting, and, you know, and with digital, you know, with digital processing, I can relight things. I can pull in, if I wanted to make darker, like I'm doing here, I can pull in a gradient and darken this, or I can light it on the side.
Yeah.
I've got the ability to post light things. And I know enough about it that I can do it in a believable way, but the tools that I have let me as an artist really stretch out and think about things in a way that I couldn't in film, because that's all hard and expensive. And if you weren't processing it yourself, you're going to spend way too much time and money trying to get that stuff.
We were talking before we started recording, and I mentioned that, you know, I saw your photos online, and it just like struck me, wow, you know. And let's be honest, everybody and their mothers has taken pictures of Kiss. It's everywhere. But for some reason, your pictures, at least to me, really stand out. Now, my question is, and maybe I'm biased. I went on your website and I looked at your other subjects. And again, maybe because Kiss is my personal interest, those other pictures didn't stand out as much to me as Kiss did. Kiss just smacked me in the face. Now, maybe because it's one of my passions. So when you take a picture of a particular subject matter, is that because it's a particular passion of yours and that passion comes out in the photo, or is it really by design? So what makes Kiss interesting for you as a particular subject compared to the other ones that you've done?
Yeah, I mean, they're great to shoot, just visually. I mean, let's start there. It's a visual medium. So anything that's interesting, you know, an attractive person is visually more interesting when we look at it than, you know, a plain person. That's just not, that's just a visual thing. I mean, with Kiss, it's one, the makeup, it's graphic, black and white, it's strong. The staging, unbelievable. The lighting. There's a photo that I've got from, I think it's 2014 tour, when Tommy does the solo in Detroit Rock City and comes center stage. Paul drops back, Gene drops back. I've got a photo with the lighting is orange. I've never taken another photo of a band with that color in it. And I actually showed it to a lighting director, and he knew the light, who manufactured it. But, I mean, it's almost impossible to do things on stage that nobody else does. Kiss does it all the time. So that's huge. The other thing is they use the light perfectly, because next time you look at a bunch of Kiss photos, live ones, pay attention to them and the background. So in a lot of the show, they're lit in the front with neutral light, kind of like what's behind your Pasquale, what's behind you. The white is white, the black is black. So that's really strong. And then the colors are all in the background. Mm-hmm. In other words, if they just threw a red in the front, they'd all look like they have pink faces, you know. It's not as strong. And it happens. It's a technique you can use, but a lot of the time Kiss is lit, you know, with neutral lights in the front. And then all that color's going on. That makes a huge difference. I mean, their photos do jump out, and there aren't very many bands that can stand out against them, because they're just so good at it. Now, as far as the passion thing, I think that definitely helps. If you're a fan, that comes through the way you approach them, the things you know about them. The things that Gene's doing, licking the bass and all that. It's like, yeah, you want to show that, because the other fans know, you know, they want to see that. It's like, oh, yeah, Gene did that thing that he does. I love that.
Yeah, but to take the pictures that you've taken, you have to be a fan too. It's like last month's pay-per-view of the final show. So many good shots were lost because the videographer didn't know the show, didn't know the band. They were just hired to film it.
That surprises me that Kiss wouldn't get. I mean, the videographer that shot that, as far as I'm concerned, should be somebody like me. You know, I don't know. But somebody that's been watching them, who loves, who is professional about it, and who knows the cues, because I mean, it's, I can't even imagine doing that in especially the last show, but all of us fans know, we know all the stuff that's going on. We're looking
what's
for
what's coming.
Yeah.
My God, the fire breathing was missing, for God's sakes.
Oh, they didn't get that.
They missed it.
They missed it, yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, Kiss, the Kiss has got a base that goes back. So I was 12 when Kiss was out. So if you were early 20s when Kiss was really starting to hit it, you'd be 70, mid 70s. So Kiss has a base from the 70s. And if you talk professionally, let's say, you know, if somebody's really good at video in their mid 20s, you got a 50 year span of Kiss fans, professionals that would love to work with you on that and would do an amazing job. So I found it hard to believe they couldn't have found, you know, somebody that was a huge fan and that wouldn't have jumped at the chance to shoot that. Exactly. I didn't see it. A buddy of mine got the pay-per-view. We were talking about it, and I was on a shoot when that was going on. But I have a feeling, I mean, here's the thing. I shot them 2014, I think it was, me and a buddy of mine, before the shoot, another photographer, we were walking through, it was a shed, so we were walking through the lawn and just kind of, you know, love to do that before the shows, looking at all the shirts and stuff. I think we counted five different shirts that were the final tour, the last tour, the whatever they were calling them, and there were a bunch of them. And it's like, and the one we were shooting wasn't, I forget the name of it, but it's like, I have a feeling Kiss is going to be playing some other dates, and I got no way to prove it. But, well, here's one too. The one I shot in October, the last time they were in Ohio before that was at Sonic Temple, which is a festival up in Columbus. And I don't know if Kiss said it, but I heard this in the media over and over and over by fans. This is the last Kiss show in Ohio ever. And people went on and on and on about it. 2 weeks after that show, they announced the one that I shot. And I hope you didn't go to that show because you thought it was the last Kiss show in Ohio, because, you know, I would never go to a Kiss show for that. I would only go because I want to go. But yeah, well, I'll have to watch that now. That's an interesting thing.
You know, it's so you kind of went back in time. You know, you said that you started shooting the band in 2012, and you were already a big fan, you know, of the band. Of course, that helped you a lot. We recall that during that that session, that you know that the 2012 tour, it seemed to us that basically you concentrated on individual, you know, members more than anything else. And of course, you know, if we're talking about individual members, you know, the tendency goes to whether Gene or Paul, but you treated them equally. You know, you went with Tommy a lot of pictures, and actually a lot of them with Eric too. Was that by design? Was it intentional? You wanted to kind of create this kind of equity with them, you know, having pictures of each one of them, you know, the same way. So was that by design?
Yeah, here's the way I look at it is when I'm shooting these concerts or an event, it's a story, and to tell the whole story. So I try to shoot them as if you weren't there, and assume that whoever's looking at it wasn't there. How do I tell them the story? And how do I, and Tommy and Eric, no matter what some fans think, I know that's in fan world, you know, that argument goes on and on and on. And, you know, I don't want to make it look like it's Gene and Paul, and I don't care about the other two.
Exactly. Okay.
The way that I look at those guys too is, if it wasn't for those two and the other guys that have played those roles, we wouldn't be seeing Kiss now. The band would be, it wouldn't be a band. So I love Ace and I love Peter. I just shot Ace about a year ago at Warm Enough for Alice Cooper. But yeah, that's the band. And it's not for me to decide. If I shoot a band and I don't like somebody that's in the band, I may not shoot them as much, but I wouldn't be doing a very good job if I just ignored them.
Exactly.
I've had people say that though about other bands that I've shot, where they go, oh, you didn't shoot the bass player. You only shot the guitar player and the singer. That comes back to Kiss and why you may see certain things at certain eras too. Sometimes it's only because that's the opportunity I had. Yeah. So I shot Rancid one time, and I shot Lars and Tim Armstrong, and I didn't shoot who's the bass player out of state. I literally, that's where I was. I couldn't easily get to him, and I shot these two. With Kiss, that comes in a lot. So yeah, I know you asked previously about, like, some of them are wider, like 2019, I had a lot of wide shots. That had nothing to do with me planning anything. What happened on that tour, typically on with Kiss, they're typically, they used to be three songs in the pit. So probably up to 2019, it was three songs in the pit. 2019, they switched their protocol, and it became one song from the soundboard, one song from the pit, which is horrible for us because the soundboard shooting at it's not bad, but so you saw a lot of wide shots. I'm all the way at the back of the venue where the sound guy's mixing the sound. So it's the other end of the venue.
Yeah.
So I've got a long lens, two long lens, a really long lens, and I'm shooting that. So they're mostly wider shots. I think when I shot that, I didn't even have my really long lens. And then we had to run down to get in the pit, and the song was Shouted Out Loud, which is not a long song. Half the song was wasted. Then when we get in the pit, in Shouted Out Loud, they're all on mic because they're all doing harmonies. So they're all locked. And when they're on mic, a lot of times you're getting this. You're getting the mic in the face.
Yeah.
So what happened is I released a lot more of the wide shots and a lot less of the close shots. Now, in 2014, we were in the pit. Those guys literally will come together for a song, and you're right in front of them, and you might only be a foot from them. So then you get these crazy cool shots. Or Paul sits on the end of the stage. I've got one of those where
he's
playing to the crowd, and then he'll turn to us and put his pick in his mouth. But Paul will do, he'll look at each photographer, and, you know, we're taking a shot and then looking real quick to make sure we got something. Because those kind of chances you don't get, you know,
all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Paul literally would wait, and then he'd look to the next person and do it to every photographer. That's why we love, you know, outside of me being a huge fan, if you're a photographer, you love Kiss. Those guys are entertainers, old school. They understand the importance of the entertainment. And the other thing they understand, and you'll see it a lot in our photos, they will look at you dead on and do their thing. Well, they know that it's not looking at me. It's not looking at my camera. It's looking at you. And when you see those photos, people really love when they see their favorite band staring at them.
Staring at you, yeah.
Yeah, and right. It works. Those guys know it. Gene, when you lift up, I've got a 200's a real popular photographer's lens, because you can get down in the pit, you can get a portrait and get in really tight. When Gene sees that lens come up, he goes through all the Gene stuff. He does his legs up and down. He sticks his tongue out. He licks the base. I mean, it's like a photo shoot, which is amazing, because there are photographers that I've shot literally that did stand in the dark for the first three songs and then turn the light on when you leave, which is the dumbest thing in the world, because I'm only in there because they approve me to be in there. If they don't want me in there, all they have to do is say, we're not allowing photographers, and I won't be there. I have never understood why a band would approve us and then block us from shooting them. It's the stupidest thing. Kiss is the exact opposite of that. And that's another reason why the photos jump out, I think. Because they're always, it's always like a photo shoot. They're always in front of us putting on the show. It's not, you know, I'm going to run in the back and play guitar. It's like, no, we're here for about 10 minutes. They're up front. Well, and even the pick stuff and all that stuff is really designed for the photo.
Yeah.
People in the back of the place have no idea what he's
doing. You will never see that. That's
Which I think is another great idea for a band, because it's great marketing. You know that photo is going to be a cool photo that you're going to put out, or somebody's going to put out. Kiss doesn't put out our photos on their site. but they know that that's going to be a great thing. But that's another thing I wanted to bring up about Kiss that is completely unlike any other band that I know of, is, and I love it, even though I should hate it, they don't put photos of mine on their website or anybody that's shooting other than their photographer, who this tour is the first time I ever saw their photographer. Their social media is fan photos. I think that's when you look at that stuff, that's you see how they're still dedicated to fans, because it's still about fans. Their whole social media is all, you know, people doing their makeup when they were kids and you know, fan stuff. They're not great. They don't have to be great photos.
That's true.
Yeah. Some of them aren't great at all. They're just great ideas and great little moments from, you know, from the past.
But that's a great segue to my next question, because you said something interesting, that you're not a crime scene photographer. No, you're not. But maybe you're the photographer of the people looking at the crime scene, because if you ask the people what they saw, you're going to get 10 different responses. They're seeing 10 different things. And you as a photographer are doing the same thing. You're seeing the band from so many different perspectives. Now, I found it interesting in your shots in 2014 and 2016, you took the band from another perspective. As you mentioned earlier, just the boots. You know, those are Gene's boots. Those are Paul's boots. But you also took pictures of fans, which I find really interesting, because that, like you said just now, is also part of the show. And you captured that really well, I found, in those photos.
I wish I could do more of that. And I mean, I literally, if it was up to me, obviously I can't shoot a whole show. I mean, that's, the bands don't allow it. But if I was allowed, I would shoot twice as much of the fan stuff. The one that from that show, yeah, I really liked it, because people were already taking photos. They were, you know, they had the flashlights on their cameras were lit, so they were glowing. I was literally in the pit waiting for the show to start, and I like to take those. A lot of times we don't have them. So this last show I shot in October, the first shot of them coming down with all the flames, and they're coming out of the ceiling, you know, the grand entrance, I call it. Okay, so they have the VIPs that are in the pit now, that they're on platforms. You know, they pay $4,000.
Yeah.
They're on the platform, and they're in front of us for Kiss. So they are literally better than the angles that I get. But they had to get in the pit, and nobody can get in the pit till the Kabuki drops. So for that show, we were on the sides. The fans were in front of us, which, you know, they should be, and we were right behind them. So they dropped the Kabuki, and then they had to get 20 people in with a pit. I'm sure you've seen it at a show, you know, the barricade. It's literally this wide to get through. I can barely get through them sometimes with all my equipment. So they're, you know, they're taking their time, and they got to walk over all this stuff. So the show starts while we're on the outside. That show I shot from the outside with the fans, you know, on the side, because I had to, you know, either that or I missed it. So I was,
you had no choice,
and walk, you know, yeah, I would love to shoot. See, a lot of times what happens with, this is an interesting thing. I think the listeners might kind of like this insight too, about what happens when we shoot a band, because it's not as glamorous as it seems getting in there in some of the procedures, because they're really structured. So when most of the venues any venue that we would shoot with Kiss, because they're big and these venues are big, it's not just us walking in and jumping in the pit, hanging out, you know, and bull crapping for an hour. We literally have to wait in an office, and about 15 minutes before the band starts, we come down, we're walked down by the venue marketing. I can't stop and shoot fans. I'd love to. Or my friends that I see, you know, all over the venues, I can't stop and take photos because we have to keep walking. It's a security thing. Mm-hmm. Straight to the pit. We get in there, do our thing, straight out and back. And if we're going to watch any of the show, we got to leave all of our equipment in the office. We can't take that out because we're literally given that 10 minutes. And if it's an outdoor show, I can, you know, the local shed, I can walk around before and after, but I can't take photos without somebody with me. And then they have to escort me, which I don't, we don't, my outlet's radio. So that's not as big of a thing as like the TV and all that. But yeah, that would be half of what I shoot because it's so mm-hmm. much a part. Now I just shot Ghost. I've shot them several times, over the summer. And there was a bigger wait before the show, and their fans remind me a lot of Kiss fans. You know, they're dressed, they all have costumes, you know, they the characters in the band. So I did shoot a bunch of those. You know, I got to shoot some because I had more time. But yeah, I mean, Kiss, you could shoot the whole show. If you never shot the band, you could have a great collection of just the fans. I mean, I've never seen more band tattoos than at a Kiss concert ever. Huh. I mean, almost everybody's got a Kiss tattoo of somewhere.
Yep. Yep.
I've got no tattoos anywhere. I noticed, and the funny thing is, I see them. I see those tattoos everywhere, you know, at different shows. And I took a shot of a guy. His whole back was a Kiss thing. And I forget what show it was, but I was shooting that show, and I had the guy, you know, lift his shirt up so I could just shoot his Kiss tattoo.
Steve, if we fast forward in time to 2019 for the end of the road, we can see by your work that, again, you were trying to capture, you know, wider scale photos, you know, focusing more on the stage and the spectacle, as you mentioned before. So, of course, you know, the Kiss music, you know, obviously transmits, you know, emotion and energy. But did you also wanted to capture that emotion from those images, you know, taking a look at the stage from a bit far? Was that your intention? Was that what you were trying to convey with those pictures?
Yeah, again, it had a lot to do with where they put us.
Okay.
But I did, we had talked about this as a group, my other friends. We would love to shoot Kiss from, at least partially from the soundboard, because then you get the whole stage.
Right.
And you get the whole scope of that. And that, I think that's the other thing with Kiss is, if you've never been to a show, it's hard to imagine the scale that they work on, especially the Monster Tour. I think that was the Monster Tour in 16.
The Spider.
Yeah. Riverbend Music Center in Cincinnati is an outdoor venue, and it's not as tall as some of the venues they play. So they had to come in. I know they came through the top of it, at different stops. They had they were already under it because they couldn't go up that high. So that affects, you know, what they do. But the scale of it, I always like getting those shots where it's the whole stage.
Mm. Yeah.
End to end. And with Kiss, especially when it's the whole stage and there's pyro across the whole stage, you really get the feel for what that is. The only problem, with shooting back there is if you split it and you go down front, then you waste half your time moving.
Right.
And I've also got a 500 lens. It's, you know, it's huge. You've seen them with sports guys. You see them with all the time. You know, we shoot them on a monopod, but they're giant lenses. The problem with that on that 2019 tour as we were, so one song and then one song in the pit. Okay, with this lens, I can't just throw over my shoulder. It weighs about 12 pounds and it's, you can't put it anywhere. So when I run down there, I had to put that thing somewhere and then switch the body off to a shorter lens, because even with two bodies, I had three lenses then, a long, a wide, and this super long. And, you know, it just becomes impossible in that amount of time. A 3-minute song, I've wasted almost all the song just with that. So yeah. The last time on this year's tour, our initial feedback from the venue was, from Kiss, was a new one that we'd never had that was going to be one song from the soundboard. Well, it was the same. One song from the soundboard, one from the pit. And so I literally asked the venue if I could just stay back at the soundboard, because they, at least that way I still have my huge lens and a lens I could shoot wider. But then we're talking about every second counts when you're.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the last minute, you know, another reason we love Kiss, at the last minute they came up and said, no, they changed. We're going to do them all from the pit. Bands never do that. I mean, I literally had multiple bands this year to approve us for the pit, and then at the last minute push us to the soundboard.
Oh, wow.
That's usually what happens to us. And then we're completely screwed over, because I mean, I always bring my big lens now because they do that. But if they do it at the last minute, I have to go back to my truck out of the parking lot. And it happened to me at a ZZ Top concert. I literally had to walk all the way across a huge parking lot to get the lens, and I missed most of the show. I think I got one show. But again, there's Kiss. I mean, they didn't do it. They did it better. They said, no, we're going to change it so that you can be. Now, the only critique I've got from this tour, and I understand it. I mean, I'm not going to give the band a hard time, because I know it's there for a reason. But, you know, those center shots are the greatest, because if I'm shooting really wide, that's the whole stage. It's everything. And when, like, I've got a few of them where Gene and Paul are in the middle playing off each other. So I'm always jumping in the middle, or when Tommy's doing the Detroit Rock City solo, I know where they're all standing. That's a great shot. I might be able to get all of them in one shot. They have the robo camera.
Yeah.
Oh, true. Yeah.
All time. So I'm in there. These things are split second. And the pyro is the toughest, because you know, that stuff goes and it's gone in a split second. So I'm lined up, you know, I got this great shot. Here comes the robo camera. It's like, run. And then couldn't get on the sides because of the VIPs and then the two cameras. So, you know, I'm happy the VIPs got to have that experience, but boy, I would have loved to have been standing
be there
in those corners like we normally did. But that's the way it goes with these. And what the other thing, though, is all that stuff does is makes you, it just gives you another opportunity, and it makes you rethink things. Now I can't do this. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of times it was hard on the Kiss show to do it because of they had video. But a lot of times what I'll do is I'll go all the way on the side and shoot somebody sideways on the stage, and sometimes you get really cool lighting, or you'll get, I've got a flea shot like that, you just get really cool angles and you get a different lighting, and a lot of people don't do that because it seems too, well, why would I be over here shooting sideways if I could be right in front of them? And it's like, well, it's all, every different angle you can get adds to the collection. Yeah. I mean, this is coming from an art director and an artist. I always look at my photos as a collection. you know, I'm putting together a collection, and when you see it all at once, that's the whole story. So
exactly,
that comes back to what you were saying about, you know, Tommy, Eric. Yeah, I want the drummer. I want the guitar player. Mm-hmm. I want a wide shot. I want close-ups. I want portraits. I want fans. Then when I put them all together, you saw the whole story.
Yeah.
You saw everybody. You saw the scope. You saw the makeup running down Gene's face or his. I've got a bass one that people are grossed out about or they love, where he's licking his bass. It's real tight. And there's saliva coming off his tongue. People that are Gene fans and Kiss fans love it. And other people go, oh, it's just too much.
But that was an interesting question, Claudio, because, you know, if you look at the gatefold of Alive 2, you see that wide shot of the entire stage. It's iconic.
It is.
And, you know, if you can capture that shot today, it's a modern version of that gatefold from Alive 2.
Yeah.
It tells the entire story. It's just amazing.
So much you can shoot at any Kiss show. You could approach it from so many angles.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I get 10 minutes. I mean, one of my, you know, a dream of mine would be to shoot a whole Kiss show.
Whole show.
A whole show. So I could literally tell the story the way I see it. You know, Gene spitting blood, Paul flying, the drum solo, everything. And do it all, you know.
In sequence. That's right.
Do it all. Yeah. And then I could weave together that story. I don't know. Kiss, if you're watching.
I'm sure they are.
Okay, so Steve, before we drop the curtain on this episode, do you have any future projects lined up that you would like to talk about? Is there anything that you would like to shoot that you haven't done already?
Boy, yeah, there's a lot of them. I'm trying to think. The problem with my wish list is a lot of them are passing away, so I try to shoot all the people that I really, you know, love anytime I can. I don't have any big ones on the radar. One band I would really like to shoot, and they come in and out of touring, is System of a Down.
Okay.
They're just a band that I think they kind of remind me of Queen in that they're musically, they do whatever they want. They can go anywhere. I will tell you the one thing I've got coming up that most of the people watching this won't see unless they live in Cincinnati is a friend of mine has been doing this there's been four of them. They're not in sequence because of COVID and a few other things, but she is in a band too. She organized back in 2016, I think is when she started it, Kiss Off. And what Kiss Off is all local bands playing Kiss songs. And the venue, it's to raise money for the venue. The venue is the Southgate House Revival, which is a local club that's probably one of the biggest proponent of local bands in Cincinnati. And it's housed in an old 1800s church with all the stained glass window in it. And they've really made a nice venue out of it. But the Kiss Off raises money to help make some improvements. Like the past couple of years, it's been lighting. This year, they're gonna upgrade some audio. But it's all local bands. I've shot everyone but one. It's one of my favorite events because everybody, it's like a Kiss show. Everybody is a huge fan. They're all having a blast. They all get into it. They're painting their faces. I got one friend who's in a band. I think he'll probably play. They normally do, but he actually said online on our event that he's got confetti. He went to the same show in 79 that I did. He's got a bag of confetti. He was up front and at the end where they blew all the confetti, he was gathering up into a baggie. He's still got it. I said, you got to bring it to the Kiss Off. But that one is one of the most fun shows I shoot all year because everybody has a blast. We had the School of Rock kids, one of the local School of Rocks came down, and they killed it. And they dressed up, and you know, it's just a blast. So I hate to say it, but it was Kiss related, and it's one of the ones it skipped a year or so, but it's one of the ones I really look forward to because, you know, it's everybody having fun, and the local bands are all doing, you know, their own versions of these things. Some of them they change them so much you wouldn't even know, you know, the song. But but I'm looking forward to that. That's at the end of January, so
okay,
keep the Kiss stuff rolling.
Okay. And Steve, I think it's worth mentioning again. So if people want to get access to your work and get in contact with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, the best way is Facebook is probably the best way to start. Then we can interact if they want to do that. Ziegelmeier Photography on Facebook. And my website is definitely, if you're really interested in my stuff in ziegelmeierphotography.com. I've got a lot of metadata in my photos in my new site. I changed a few years ago. I really put a lot in it, but if you go to my site, use the search function, I really boosted it up. So any band you like, or if you even like a guitar, if you put in Ibanez, you're going to get Paul, and you're going to get anybody that plays Ibanez and Nita Strauss. And so if you're really a big music fan, I've got thousands of bands on there, you know, because I got a wide variety of music that I like. And a lot of people tell me they waste a lot of time on my website because and you go, oh, I love this band, and before you know it, you know, you've gone down the music rabbit hole.
No, Steve, it's been a genuine pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. You know, being a month after the end of the road, no more touring, I'm suspecting. All we have left is basically video and pictures like yours to basically capture the music of what was once an amazing Kiss concert. So, and getting this behind the scenes perspective and the technicalities of it was just so interesting. Thank you so much.
And so educational, you know, it was fantastic, you know, love it, love it. Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you.
I appreciate you guys inviting me on. I enjoy the Facebook group, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. To the Kiss Army, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, message us at talktome@kissarmynationpodcast.com. Please like and subscribe and support the amazing guests we have on our show. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, like and subscribe on YouTube or follow us on Spotify, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to make yourself heard. Leave us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you all soon, Kiss Army.